Okay, Alexander, let's talk about the situation in Ukraine. And we got a lot of news coming out from that crisis. It looks like the Russian military is making very steady progress in Donbas. The mainstream media is not reporting on any of this. It looks like that this siege of Kharkiv that everyone was talking about in the mainstream media was a bust as well. Once again, more PR spin. It looks like Poland and Ukraine are up to some fishy business there. And I don't want people to focus on the rights that Poland gave to Ukraine refugees. People need to focus on the special status that Ukraine is giving to Poland. That's the real story. That seems to signal preparing the way for something. So there's some manipulation going on there to prepare for something. I hope nothing, but it looks like something. I really hope nothing comes out of this, but it looks like something is being prepared just because of what Ukraine has put to the parliament to create this special status for Poland. And of course, we have the media in the US and the UK starting to signal to Biden, get out. This is not working out well. And I think the media understands this because they've seen what's going on in Donbass. They don't want to report it, but they know the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, when you mention the media, I mean, the key event is this opinion piece in the New York Times, which appeared on the 19th of May, written by the editorial team, whatever that means. In other words, it's the New York Times saying, in which basically they said there have to be negotiations, that victory is not going to happen over Russia. There have to be negotiations. Ukraine needs to sit down to negotiate. That's quite how they put it, but you read between the lines, that's the implication of it. And that means that Ukraine has to concede major, territory to Russia. That, which is, as you rightly said, it appears to be addressed to Ukraine, but it is actually addressed to the Biden administration. Because the New York Times doesn't have influence over Ukraine, but the New York Times is absolutely a part of the Democratic Party, apparatus, machine, coalition, if you like. So they're talking to Biden. They're trying to tell Biden, look, things are going badly wrong in Ukraine. As you rightly said, every day the Russians capture villages. And the villages they're capturing are not just villages, they are important places in terms of the overall battle. As we discussed in our previous video on Ukraine, Ukrainian army in Ukraine is now divided up into what in Britain we call penny packets. They're becoming more and more of them are encircled. There's talk that the major force now in Severodonetsk-Lysychansk is about to be completely surrounded, and its position is becoming untenable. Zelensky, as you rightly said, has now admitted that Ukraine is losing 100 men a day, killed apparently, in the fighting in Donbass. And as you absolutely rightly say, most people think it's multiples more than that. And that admission, by the way, already contradicts his own previous claims about Ukrainian casualties. So Zelensky admits that. Importantly, Ukraine today has also admitted that 87 Ukrainian troops were killed in a single Russian airstrike, missile strike in Chernigov region. So that's the biggest single number of Ukrainian troops that Ukraine has admitted to being killed in a single day. There's other estimates which put it much higher in other places, but this is the first admission from Ukraine. So doubts within the Democratic Party coalition in the United States, criticism of what's happening, a situation in Donbass which is deteriorating. We've seen Mariupol collapse. We saw the entire Azov regiment essentially destroyed. We've seen its actual commander, the commander of the Azov regiment, taken prisoner. So what do we do? Well, Ukraine has already, in effect, rejected the New York Times' advice. They're not prepared to sit down and negotiate. So they can't win the war by themselves. The flood of American weapons that they were expected isn't materializing. By the way, I did a analysis, not a systematic analysis, but a brief analysis of this $40 billion aid package for Ukraine. I drilled it down. I think Ukraine is only getting $6 billion, not in weapons, but in weapons and training. All of the rest is just padding. Not padding, in fact. It's just money going through various NGOs, all the things that we were talking about. It's not really $40 billion. It's more like six. And it's not, and it's not $6 billion in weapons. It's weapons and training. So the flood of American weapons that they were anticipating isn't coming. So what do you do? You can't negotiate. You're losing. You look to Poland, your ally. You try and get the Poles involved. Hope also that maybe the Poles can't take on the Russians by themselves, but they are a NATO member state. Britain is their ally, is a very strong ally of Poland. Maybe that will bring in NATO on your side in the end. Because realistically, what other options do you have?
If Poland does get involved, I say if. Yeah, is this a disaster for Poland, do you believe, or not?
Yes, it is a disaster for Poland. I think that Poland will get sucked into Ukraine. Now, bear in mind, I mean, this is not part of a deal with Russia whereby Poland gets Western Ukraine and, you know, Russia gets the rest. That's not what this would be. This would be Poland coming to Ukraine's rescue. Maybe with the ultimate agenda of snipping off Western Ukraine, but it would be seen by the Russians as an anti-Russian move. It would also, nonetheless, enrage some Ukrainian nationalists who don't like Poland very much. It would draw Poland into a crisis in Ukraine and into a direct confrontation with Russia. Russia is far more powerful. The Russians would be, whatever inhibitions have held them back from hitting Ukraine hard, Poland is not covered by. I mean, the Russians have no inhibitions about striking hard at the Poles. The Poles would face a military debacle, a quagmire in Ukraine. And I'm going to make a prediction. I think if they get themselves into a mess in Ukraine, I think that's the point where the Germans, the French, the Italians will say, enough, you're on your own. We're not prepared to come to your rescue. I think the mood in the US is shifting. And I think the Poles will find themselves on their own. I mean, there'll be Liz Truss and all those people who will be cheering on from the sidelines. But, you know, realistically, there's nothing that they can do. So I think the Poles will be on their own, taking on the Russians by themselves.
I completely agree. That's why in the opening segment, I said, don't look at Poland giving Ukrainians special status in Poland. That's not what people should be looking at. What they should be looking at is Zelensky giving and the Ukrainian parliament about to give very special status to Poland, because that is the cheese in the mousetrap. If the Law and Justice Party bites and they get involved in Ukraine, then the EU and the United States, once they see what Russia will do, they're going to sell Poland down the river. I think they're just going to say, you guys deal with it. We're out. Absolutely. I mean, this is, Poland should not do this. Don't take the bait. I mean, that's how I see it. I don't know. How do you see it? I'm telling Law and Justice. Like, if I was speaking to Duda or Kaczynski or Morawiecki, I would say, don't take the bait.
Absolutely.
Don't do it. Absolutely. Because this is a trap.
Yes, it is a trap. It will be a disaster for Poland. I mean, ask yourself how many wars between Russia and Poland has Poland won? I mean, the only one I can think of since the 17th century. I mean, you have to go back that far. The only one where Poland won, and only by the skin of its teeth, was in 1920, when Russia was in chaos because of the revolution. And even then, they almost lost Warsaw. So, I mean, to throw yourself into some kind of a confrontation with the Russians in Ukraine, of all places, is just utter stupidity. It would be a complete disaster. And it would be a disaster for Poland. And given that my feelings about Poland, I desperately hope that they don't do it, that wiser counsels in the end will prevail there. But at the moment, I have to say, the way they've worked themselves up, you know, it doesn't seem likely that they would, you know, will listen to that kind of advice.
All right. Do you think the Biden White House is going to listen to the advice of the media? Do you think that Boris Johnson is going to listen to the advice of the media, i.e., reverse gear, get out?
No, not for the moment.
The U.S. might.
The U.S. Right. Okay. This is where we must make the distinction between the Biden White House, that is to say, Biden himself, and his foreign policy team. I think they are completely committed, but what they could very well see is that the ground being cut off from under their feet, as it was with the Lyndon Johnson administration in the 60s. Back in the 60s, contrary to what many people think, over Vietnam, it was elite opinion that turned against the war first. They were saying, you know, what is the president doing? This is an insane overinvestment in a peripheral war. It's not going well. Let's get out. It's not in our interests to press on with it. And that was what destroyed in the end Johnson's political position in the United States. The same is very easily possibly going to happen in the US as well, especially if there is a Republican sweep in the midterms. Now, bear in mind that New York Times article I was talking about, they begin with the fact that opinion in the United States is fracturing, that the pro-Trump, the right-wing Republicans are now coming out against the war, that the consensus supporting Ukraine is starting to break down. So it's entirely possible that the US will change. In Britain, I'm afraid it's more difficult, because so far there's no political force in Britain that has appeared on the scene, which would take a clear-cut anti-war position, anti-Ukraine war position. But let's be straightforward about this. If the US shifts, as I think it not only may, but will, Britain doesn't matter. I mean, it's no more realistic to expect the British to, you know, carry on the fight in Ukraine all by themselves without the Americans than it was for the British to carry on the fight by themselves in Afghanistan without the Americans. I mean, if the US reverses gear on Afghanistan, on Ukraine, then Britain will have to do so as well. They will have no choice in the matter. They may complain. There may be angry articles. I was already reading a furious article in the Daily Telegraph about, you know, America wobbling. But, you know, they may be furious, but ultimately there's nothing that they can do. And with the US, I not only think they can shift, I think that shift is already happening. And I think if Poland goes into Ukraine, gets into trouble, and then looks to America to get it out, I think at that point you will see American opinion will harden and crystallize, and they will say no.
The same can be said about Europe, real quick as well. I mean, the European Union, von der Leyen and Borrell, you know, they're talking up a big game, and they definitely want more war and more escalation and more money funneled into Ukraine. But I think you see a lot of EU countries, even EU leaders, you could say, like Macron or Draghi, who are starting to also say, you know what, we need to extract ourselves from this mess. And you can see it reflected in the number of companies that have signed up to Gas for Rubles as well. So, I mean, you could say this about the European Union as yeah. well. Not all the EU countries, all the EU leaders are starting to get cold feet. But I think you're starting to get some very powerful ones. France, Italy, I mean, the population of Bulgaria, Greece.
Yeah.
They don't want any part of this.
Yeah, I get the same sense. I think Italy is shifting decisively now. Remember the sixth package of sanctions? The oil, the embargo on Russian oil? We're nowhere near getting that all settled. It's already admitted that there's never going to be a seventh package. I mean, they've hit the buffers, I think, probably conclusively now. And they're looking at what's happening. The ruble is now trading at 58. Oh, this is on the foreign, the world currency market. It's not within Russia. In Russia, it's always stronger. But the ruble is now at 58 rubles to the dollar on the global currency markets. There's now Russian inflation is falling. They may be in deflation soon. And apparently, industrial production is steadying in Russia. So, you know, the economic war of attrition has failed. We've landed ourselves into a recession. Do we really want a war on top of that in Europe? Of course we don't. And if the Poles get themselves into trouble in Europe, I'm going to say it bluntly because, you know, there's a lot of feelings about the Poles that have been circulating for a long time, and for Law and Justice in particular, a lot of people will say, well, they've just got themselves into this mess. We're not having any role in it. If the Poles get themselves into a mess, well, they can find their way out. And if they get a bloody nose, well, we're not going to be entirely sorry, because to be straightforward about it, we don't like Law and Justice very much. So I think if the Poles plunge into Ukraine, they're on their own. That's my view.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think it's they're being set up.
They're being set up. I mean, they might get help from Lithuania or someplace like that. But I mean, other than that, they're on their own. And I think that I think they are in very great danger, real danger, of making the wrong call.
All right, we'll leave it there. TheDuran.locals.com. Look for us there, and 10% off the Duran shop. Use the code GOODDAY. Take care.